What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome to Forecast, episode 25. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Scott Johnson.
And we are joined for the trifecta of episodes with Eric Van Skyhawk, a.k.a. Hawkito, and co-host of App Slappy on the Frog Pants Network. Welcome, Eric Van Skyhawk.
Why, thank you.
I like saying your full name all at once like that.
I know.
Well, I still sure claim it's not real. I don't think it's a real name.
Totally. It is real. Why would I make that up?
He's Eric Ronson Putty or something.
I'm just saying everybody's very disappointed after they meet me in person. They're like, oh, this is it?
See, now I had the opposite because I knew you as Hawkito and I actually didn't know what your last name was. And I remember like saying, like, you know what? I don't realize what your last name. And you're like, Van Skyhawk. I'm like, no, really?
Well, that's your name? That you're a similar height as me. When I saw, I saw Eric, my first comment was, you're shorter than I thought you'd be.
With a name like Skyhawk.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be a Nordic mountain climber. What's going on here?
We should not forget Brian Dunaway giggling in the background there, cartoonist and host of Comics Coast to Coast and co-host of Film Sack. Welcome back, Brian.
Hi, thank you for having me back on the show. My name is nowhere near as cool as Skyhawk. Mine's just Brian Dunaway. That's just so boring.
I remember the first time I was like, Dunaway? How, really? That's your name? Dunaway?
He's got to be Ken DeFay.
Yeah, like
you changed it to get in the biz, didn't you?
You did, totally.
Yes, right.
Yeah. All right, let's start out with a blog comment from one of our listeners. Joshua posted this on forecastpodcast.com. Joshua says, I see a large expansion of industrial space travel within the next 50 to 100 years, which will broaden our options in the ways of final storage. We could, for example, store the waste in a passing asteroid that won't be anywhere near Earth for the next 3,000 years after mining it for metals, naturally.
Oh, there's no aliens out there.
It reminds me of that Futurama episode.
Yeah, with the big garbage barge sent out of space that came back as a giant fireball and almost killed him.
That's exactly what's going on here. I love that, Joshua. This dovetails with the prediction from last episode, right? Except, you know, we didn't think about putting waste on it.
No. That's brilliant.
That's awesome. I want to take a moment and just sort of congratulate our listeners with some really great stuff lately. This stuff is just awesome. I love this thinking. We had a really great one last episode as well. Keep these coming.
Yeah, very insightful stuff. Really smart. As I mentioned last time, you'll get read on the show if you're shorter. But if you can't be, if it's long and it's insightful, I'm still reading and it's still good stuff.
Yeah, that's how Eric got on. He's shorter.
Yeah.
Got him.
send us your predictions or pictures of Eric to email forecastpodcast @gmail.com or post them up at our blog, forecastpodcast.com. Time for the crazy-ass predictions. We're thinking, I don't know, 10,000 years in the future, wild predictions, just doozy of a thing that you thought was crazy off the top of your head. Brian Dunaway, what do you got?
Well, 10,000 years from now, I think my theory, which I'm about to reveal on this show, will finally be disproven, proven, or possibly none of the above because of the lack of any human existence.
So wait a minute. You're predicting that in 10,000 years, something either will, won't, or possibly won't exist.
It won't matter because no one will be here. One of three. Something like that will happen. Anyway, my theory.
You're covering all the bases.
What's that? Go ahead.
You're going to be right because you're covering all the bases.
That's right. I got it. I got it covered. I got it.
Smart
anyway,
man.
Yeah, my theory is I have a theory on and the reason why I've developed this theory before I started about it, it's on time. It's about time. It's not on time. I'm delivering it on time. But it is about the theory of time and the ability to travel through time. Are you confused yet?
Well, I was just going to say, I don't know what the hell he's talking about, but I'm intrigued. Continue.
Anyway, the thing that's always bothered me in science fiction is time travel. I just don't see how I know you're
really?
Going to probably
I
try to explain it to
time.
Me, Tom.
Yeah, you probably really hate Lost, don't you?
You got to understand, no matter what you say, I'm not going to understand it, all right? Okay,
let me just start by chronotons, okay? It's very simple. No. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, from my simple understanding of time travel, you know, somehow another light equates to time or some kind of...
You're doing it wrong.
Okay. See, exactly. So don't try to explain it to me because I'm too stupid to understand. I've tried to study this theories, but I don't believe. I believe that time is like a lit fuse. We are the part of the fuse that is burning. There is nothing behind us.
So
it is all destroyed. It is gone. There's only one direction to travel in time, and that's forward. Now you can jump time, warp time, fold time, and go to a future point. But I don't believe there's any way to travel back in time. So this I believe in a single directional time travel.
This brings up a Picard quote to me.
Is it really?
Yeah. I don't know. Time is the fire in which we all burn.
Yes, yeah. It is. So that's what I imagine. I imagine time like a fuse. We're on the back end of it. We're burning as we go through. There's nothing behind us. It's only in the future.
Fair enough.
So that's my single directional time travel theory. So no backwards traveling. Now, there can be so bidirectional time travel is not possible. Only one way. Now, I believe there might be a possibility to find a lateral time travel where you could jump into another timeline. Only at the end of it, where it's burning it, of course, or where you have entered into that point.
So you're saying whatever time you travel to, you're in real time.
You're in real time always.
Or why do those future?
Why do those alternate timelines?
Well, yeah,
you can't go back.
Cannot go back. Not possible.
Why do the alternate timelines have the same time as you?
They do not necessarily have the same exact time as us. Right. They can be burning. They are burning at their own pace, regardless of where I jump onto the timeline at. Now, my own personal, and imagine each person is their own fuse, I guess you would say. So each person is their own fuse. So if I jumped into another timeline that encompasses all these other fuses, my fuse would still be burning. I still can't travel back in time. I can be in an alternate reality, but I cannot go back in time, no matter what. No matter what I want to do, not possible. So sliders, possible. Quantum leap, no. Not going to happen.
Well, now, wait a minute. Well, if you jump from...
Oh, go ahead, Tom. Go ahead.
Just real quickly. Not really quickly, but real quickly. If you jump from one timeline to another and then back to the other, how do you know how much time passed in the other time?
It doesn't matter. It's all relative.
Exactly. So you could actually time travel that way.
No, you could if...
Because they might be burning at different rates.
You cannot travel back into your own timeline. They could jump to another timeline.
How does one timeline know when the other timeline is burnt? How do they? You're saying they all stay in sync somehow?
Flux. Yeah, they do all stay in sync. They are all in sync. Now, don't confuse. They are in sync. Let me.
So you violated quantum electrodynamics and relativity.
It doesn't necessarily mean that the evolution of one set of or dimension doesn't mean the people have evolved or things are exactly the same is what I'm thinking.
Right. So what you're saying is in the alternate timeline, let's say World War One happened in a very different way and everyone's still flying dirigibles and we haven't discovered computers yet because for whatever reason, the great minds have not evolved to the point that we're doing any of that. They've all been focused elsewhere. They're still on the same timeline as us. Like there's an outer timeline that everybody's on. And you're saying if you jump over there, you may be like living in the 30s in terms of cultural stuff, but it's still on that international or that interspatial timeline that you all share. Every timeline shares that timeline.
Correct. Correct. Right. Because all these lines are infinite. Looking forward, they're infinite. But they're all equal. It's like somebody chopped me at the end and said, chop, okay, this is existence, and it all goes forward. Nothing can go back.
Hmm. Well, how many alternate timelines are there? Are they just like...
Infinite. I mean, that can be totally infinite, yeah. So now that part may be disproven. Who knows? They may only accept part of my theorems in 10,000 years.
Are you just making the theory that this is true of timeline? Or are you saying you predict in 10,000 years we will figure that out?
Yeah, that's my prediction that they'll either think my theory. This is my personal theory that I have, and I think in 10,000 years someone will disprove that now that I've put it out there onto the internet.
Right, it'll grow.
I was going to say, other than violating the laws of quantum electrodynamics and being unable to balance Feynman diagrams and Einstein and relativity out the window, it's a fine theory.
What did I say earlier, Tom? To shut your yapper. You can't teach me anything.
I wasn't trying to teach.
I'm sorry. You were trying to insult me. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. No. I mean, to be honest, the moving back in time thing is part of quantum mechanics, and you don't have to try to understand it, but it is essential to balancing certain equations for an electron to have to go back in time. Now, they may find out that they were misunderstanding something, and quantum mechanics was too simple, and that's why it looked like stuff had to go back in time, but it didn't. That stuff happens all the time in physics. But yeah, our understanding now is that you kind of have to have that happen. Relativity is the one that bothers me more, this idea that there's this timeline that all the alternate timelines are burning along. Mm-hmm. That seems unlikely. But, you know, anything's possible, I suppose.
Yeah. Wow, you've already disproved it now, and it's not even been 10,000 years. God, man, you ruined my predictions.
A spoiler alert, sorry.
Disapproved in 10 minutes.
But, yeah, that is my prediction. I think we will understand time in 10,000 years. I think
that's a good prediction, actually.
I think we'll totally understand. I think it's going to take us that long to understand how time works. I think we have absolutely no clue what really makes time work. And if there was a way to travel back in time, I just don't see how it would be possible without destroying everything.
Some scientists think time doesn't exist, that it's merely a perceptual framework that we put on stuff.
It is. And that's why you might think of it like a fuse, because it only moves forward. It only stacks. It doesn't, there's no way to go back, if that makes sense.
Well, I that's an interesting point. And I actually kind of like it. I like the idea that, you know, it's you experience it and it's done. You're done. You can't go back. There's no changing it. If you leap forward, it's a huge risk, because if you leap forward 50 years, you are stuck there, because what you did was lop off a 54-year piece of this string.
I think I think it's more likely that the atoms in the universe might just randomly reassemble in exactly the same way that they are right now, and you repeat history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although, is that you? No. But it is identical to you in every way, so maybe it is you. It's all semantics at that point. But yeah.
Infinite possibilities, everyone.
In infinite diversity comes.
Because in that theory, let's not forget, in the infinitum, there's no name for it. I'm just saying, making things up.
It's a Vulcan.
If you look at the world, if it's truly infinite possibilities in the universe, there are four people with our exact names, our same height and build, our same microphones, our same named computers, our same internet named thing, sitting on a planet called Earth, talking on a microphone right now about this exact same thing. And then there are infinite variations on that happening in alternate timelines. Crazy.
There's one where totally made sense.
Yeah. Like, ours
the best. There's in one that I'm right. I don't know which one it is.
I'm moving there.
If it's truly infinite, then yes, there is. That's totally part of it.
Crazy as that sounds.
Yeah.
All right, Eric Van Skyhawk, are you ready for your crazy-ass prediction?
I am ready. This is crazy.
Lay it on us, brother.
So, what is the building blocks of all material on Earth? What is it?
Atoms.
Exactly. And my crazy prediction is that nanotechnology will be so advanced that we can start creating atoms using little nanotechnology, and then in essence be able to create any type of material on Earth using nanotechnology.
Yeah, but wouldn't you have to have atomic particle, you know, material to build something else? In other words, they're not going to be able to pull these out of nothing, right?
Well, what is nanotechnology? Isn't nanotechnology the minute?
Well, it's tiny.
Nanotechnology is usually kind of on the molecular level, made up of atoms. So you're saying we'll get something new that's even smaller, that'll be made up of quarks and gluons, where we can create our own atoms from the ground up.
But they would still have to find. They still have to have those pieces.
We'll have the technology to combine, like, you know, like say what's water? H2O, right?
Sure.
Yes.
We'll have the technology.
Sure, why not?
Dihydrogen oxide.
That's what I was taught in school.
Well, they changed it, man.
And we're gonna get the technology where we're gonna learn how to combine them to create, you know, hydrogen and oxygen and combine them together, and then we're gonna make water. But it's actually gonna be from this nanotechnology.
Okay.
It's crazy.
I totally agree. I think that would be a
I told you, man.
I have this hard time with this idea of things coming from nothing. Like, even if you made nanotechnology where you had tiny little robots that could generate any atoms you wanted, it would still need the building blocks of what makes up those atoms. to do it, and it would have to pull from an existing source of that atomic makeup.
Well, so, that's it. That's interesting thought, Scott, because the source of the material of atoms is everything around you, because the, you know, atoms are made up of leptons and gluons and quarks, and that's what all atoms are made of. So if you can break down the atoms around, you can get all of that material. It's everywhere.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
It's pretty much where, like, the atoms are, have like a kind of like, this is what you are, and this is what your attributes are going to be, correct?
Mm-hmm. Sort of. Yeah, I mean, like, this table I'm knocking on is, oh, the only difference between it and the hair on your head. You still have hair, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I love that long and uncomfortable pause.
Uh-oh. The difference between this table, this hardwood table, and your hair, isn't it the speed at which these atoms are in motion? Like, isn't that the main thing?
Well, the number of electrons, neutrons, and protons.
It's a combination of electrons, yeah, and
it's not so much the speed as it is the arrangement of everything.
Right.
The speed affects what state it's in.
If you think about it, nanotechnology is programmable, so you can say, "Hey, this is what you guys need to be."
Mm. I like this a lot.
I just want to
know. This solves the water problem, wars. This solves a lot of problems we bring up on this show. It solves a lot of conflict about resource management, overpopulation, and how are we going to get enough food, water, gas, energy, materials, whatever. Eric's little idea totally solves that. I wonder how much resources we'll have to go through to find a way to do it.
Well, we got 10,000 years, so.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's a long time.
What are these nanobots going to be made of to be able to move around all the little pieces of atoms?
Nanorets.
Fair enough.
Exactly.
My timeline don't seem so crazy now, does it?
Yeah, timeline's not crazy now, Dunaway, hey?
Here, listen, see? I mean, we're already making that. Like, I saw on BuzzFeed today, somebody had built a nano-sized Star Trek Enterprise, like the ship.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So we're getting pretty freaking crazy with this stuff. And not only are we getting crazy with it, we're making Star Trek ships out of this technology. We're getting to the point where we're experimenting and going a little bananas. And so why not? Why not? Why not make the next thing
boldly
going? Maybe it's a little
going.
Big and bulky, but eventually, you know, this thing gets smaller and smaller and smarter and smarter. And in 10,000 years, if we haven't blown ourselves up, Eric's lifelong dream comes true.
I'm liking it, man. It's good stuff.
I hope you're around to see it. Jump forward in time.
I don't think I will be, unless
you jump forward in time.
A nano body for me that
transfer
your intelligence into a tiny little speck. I could see that.
Who says that hasn't happened already?
That hurt.
Zing.
All right, Mr. Expert on Time Dunaway, is it time for four questions?
Oh, shoot. Let's do this.
All right. This is the segment where we hit each of our guests rapid fire style with four questions about the future. They are not allowed to stop and think. They just
no problem there.
Tap into the communal energy of the space-time continuum or whatever. Just answer from the gut. Okay. We're going to hit you with a question. Answer from the gut. Move on to the next question. You got it?
Yeah. Let me puke first.
All right.
All right. I'm ready.
All right. I'm asking the questions first. Brian, I'm going to ask you four questions. Be ready. Here they come. First one is, when will we finally see the Panthers dominate the NFL?
Next year.
Bullcrap. If there's a life on any... I just wanted an excuse to bash on the Panthers.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
If there is life...
Yeah, that Utah football team is awesome.
Oh, yeah, the Jazz.
No football.
Yeah, they play their basketball team as a football team, right?
We have an indoor football team called the Blaze, or we did for a while. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway... If there's life on any of the planets in our solar system outside of ours, which one do you want it to be from and why?
Pluto, because they say it's not a planet anymore. That would show them.
Oh, that'd really piss them off, the Plutonians.
Yeah.
That would be bad. When will you...
We heard somebody didn't believe in our planet down here.
Who y'all gonna call it not a planet?
We're cold.
When will you finally admit that you really like Lost?
Never. Mm. Never. You'll never hear that. Well, okay. I'll go ahead and do it right now.
Yeah, right, he hates time travel.
Yeah.
I hate time travel. The whole thing, going back in time, not possible, so it irritates me, so it's not going to happen. He's right, Skyhawk. Never. I'm sticking to my guns.
All right. You can chop half of entertainment history out of a book for Brian, because all of it has time travel. Next up, we got last question. Here we go. When the government begins to issue cybernetic body parts, which body part do you want first?
I'm not going to say the thing that came first to mind. I'm going to say a hand.
Okay. Because they're connected or what?
No, because I don't know if you guys have the explicit tag or not.
I'm working blue tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
Ham would be cool because, hey, dude, please. That's where I work with.
Yeah, you're talking about it's your main tool. It's your way of getting around in the world, lifting stuff and breaking things. Yeah,
drawing, choking people.
I like
all that stuff. Yeah,
what?
Drawing and choking people.
Well, that's what they're good for.
All right, excellent. Well, I can't wait to turn. It'll be a Luke Skywalker moment for us all.
Let's move on to Eric. Eric, are you seated comfortably?
Okay.
All right, we are ready for the four questions. Here we go. Question number one. What physical form will Ragnarok take?
What? Ragnarok?
Yes, the end of days. Armageddon. Huh? Doomsday. What physical form will it take?
He's going to come back Stalin. What?
He's Stalin. He's using stall tactics.
Not Stalin like the Russian dictator.
Joseph Stalin.
Yeah.
He's going to come back as a kitten.
Joseph
Saul. Yeah.
I think that's a good call. A cute little kitten. Take y'all. Yep. Oh, look at the. Question number two. When will advertisers finally value the web?
Soon. iPad, baby.
iPad. Right. Yes, you kind of answered that in the first episode, didn't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Question number three. What will be the best-selling app of all time from the Apple App Store?
Plants vs. Zombie. Awesome.
Already is, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It is going to retain its crown, you're saying?
Yeah, yes.
For a while.
Of all time.
It's just your prediction in the future.
It's just a prediction. Don't worry. It's okay.
We're not going to hold you in. Yeah.
It's just recorded on this podcast. Like,
next episode,
all time,
Eric was sure wrong about that prediction.
I'm going to say it's Plants vs. Zombies 2, just to one up.
There you go.
Yeah. In 3D.
And finally, question number four. Will you ever learn to tank properly in Warcraft?
Screw you.
Guys, I'm going home. Yeah.
Click.
Yeah. Eric is a tank in training. Let's put it that way.
Oh, no. We do a little podcaster run in Warcraft regularly, and Eric is our tank, and actually he does quite a good job.
What are we doing? I can't talk.
I suck.
Tom, you wasn't there. You weren't there for the Halls of Reflection.
No, sir.
Well, thank goodness. Count yourself lucky.
Well, boys, thank you very much for joining us. This was a blast. It was great to hear your predictions. Good stuff. Eric, go ahead and remind folks once again where they can find you online.
Twitter.com/Hakito, HAWKITO.
And I believe we have about 20 more minutes. So, Brian, go ahead and tell people where they can find you online.
Yes, you can visit me. If you just go to briandunaway.com, and that's where everything really stems off from. That is B-R-I-A-N, not B-R-Y. Who thought of that?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
so it's briandunaway.com. One N. Actually, there's two, but there's that's a Brian. So if you're thoroughly confused, just Google Brian Dunaway. You'll find me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the fifth one down.
Yeah, and since we got 20 minutes left,
Scott Johnson.
Me on Twitter/MissionDeep or that's it. That's good enough.
All right. Of course,
you can just play some music here or something.
Frogpants Studios and Subbrilliant Media combining to create Forecast. Scott Johnson, the purveyor of the fine Frogpants products.
Yes, indeed. I think this week I'll pimp the show that Brian is also a part of, FilmSack. Wow. Interested in movies, especially old movies, movies from the 80s, the 70s, even more current stuff that may be of a, let's say, a tepid reputation sometimes. There's nothing dirty about them. They're just like old 80s movies. Anyway, we do a movie called FilmSack at FilmSack.com, which is a really fun look at a great collection of old movies that we get through Netflix streaming and other means. And I highly recommend people check that out. They'll have a good time.
And what am I?
They will enjoy it.
And then App Slappy with the Eric.
Yeah, that stupid other show.
There's that other show.
I am going
That's
to
actually a really good show. I love that show.
It's a good show. Both those shows are good. All the Frog Pants stuff is good stuff. I am going to promote something that I never promote, which is subbrilliant.com/boilingpoint. It is the extended universe for my novel, Boiling Point. So even if you haven't read it, you can find stuff there. It's just all about what I thought might happen in the future of the United States.
Wow.
Very nice.
Kind of just a freebie. Don't need to spend any money. Just poke
it's
around.
Good stuff. People go check it out.
Lots of flags that I made up for non-existent future countries. You can follow us on Twitter as well.
Including this great Vegas, like Utah thing you had going.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Twitter.com/Extra Life to follow Scott Johnson. Twitter.com/Ace Detect to test your ability to spell made up words. Don't forget to leave comments at our website, forecastpodcast.com, or send us an email to forecastpodcast@gmail.com. Eric and Brian, thank you once again. And for Scott Johnson, I'm Tom Merritt. See you later.
Ah, secret out.
But it's only 32 years away.